Now we'd like to ask our brother Clyde to come forward and give us the words of exhortation.
Well, first of all, if you notice that I'm out of breath this morning, it's not from the two long walks up to the podium. It's the hay fever. And I don't know why we happen to be living and have found ourselves living in the middle of hay fields. Anyway, it was the pollen before, it's the hay fields now, and it'll be the dust in a couple of weeks. So, now, that reading that Brother Paul did for us this morning is not an easy reading. But it is an essential reading for understanding of salvation. And I'm not going to go through these two chapters in detail, but except that we need to say that it's about blood. Essentially, what these two chapters are about is blood. And there are two types of blood. And I have to be a little careful of the phraseology that I use because, you know, in our circles, we've had differences of opinion about blood and what it means and how it, and so on. But one blood had no power, really, to save. It was symbolic. The other blood clearly had power to save. The one blood, of course, was the blood of bulls and calves and bulls and lambs, and especially in relation to Hebrews chapter 9, it was taken in by the high priest once a year beyond the veil into the most holy place. He couldn't go in without blood. He would have died. But he went in with blood. The problem was it wasn't his blood. And more than that, it was the blood of animals. Now, Jesus, on the other hand, enters into the holy place not without the blood of bulls and goats, but with his own blood. So those of us who are sitting in this room who read these things and have espoused these principles and these beliefs have to realize that we're here because of the blood. His own blood. Now, to try and help me understand this a little bit better, and hopefully you as well, I want to talk about four things this morning. Number one, the coming king. The hope of Israel, the daughter of Zion and the city of Jerusalem, number one. Number two, I want to talk about the covenant in blood. Number three, I want to talk about the pit that you are in. The waterless pit that you are in. And number four, I want to talk about the fortress of hope. Now, to help us with that, I'd like you to go with me to Zechariah chapter 9. Zechariah has in five or six verses here the gospel in a nutshell. And let's begin at verse 9. And I'm reading from the New International Version. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you. Now, we already know that this verse is one of the key verses quoted in Matthew and Luke when Jesus rides into the city of Jerusalem, hailed as a king with palm branches and clothing, and understood by us in the song, in the hymn that we just sang, that he was going in rather to die. So it was about the blood. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation. So there it is. He was riding in because he had salvation. It was about salvation. But he was gentle, riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And he goes on to say, I will take away the chariots from Ephraim, the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. Because there is going to be a time of peace. Because of this act of this Messiah riding into the city of Jerusalem, bringing salvation and peace, it says at the end of verse 10, to the nations. And he will rule from sea to sea and from the rivers unto the ends of the earth. Now, how is that going to be possible? Well, in verse 11, he says, as for you, because of the blood of my covenant with you. That's how it's all possible. That was true with Israel of old. And by the way, that's true with us today. Salvation and the hope of Israel and Zion and peace on earth is because of the blood of my covenant with you. Now, of course, they had the old covenant and the old blood. But that's how salvation would come. And then he goes on to say, at the end of verse 11, I will free your prisoners from the waterless pit they are in. Now, these images that the prophets have are wonderful because we see somebody digging a hole in the Middle East looking for water. And that's how you got water, because most of their water was underneath them. Not like us. Most of our water that we drink comes from above us. But theirs was under the ground, so they had to dig for water. And that was a matter of life and death. If they had a waterless pit, they were doomed. They needed water for life. And the prophet says that this whole nation of Israel was in a waterless pit. They were prisoners of their own pit that they had dug and their own choices that they had made. But he said, I will free you. And you will be free because of the blood of the covenant. In verse 12, return to your fortress, O prisoners of hope. And so would we rather be prisoner of the waterless pit that we've dug? Would we rather be prisoners of the stronghold of Zion? And I think that's sort of a rhetorical question, isn't it? There's the gospel in a nutshell. There's going to be peace on earth. There's going to be a king in Zion, and that king is going to be the Messiah of Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason there's going to be salvation, and the reason he's going to be able to come with salvation, is because of the blood of the covenant. And because people get out of the pit they're in and return to the stronghold. Well, it is because of the blood of the covenant, he says, that I will free you from the waterless pit. And so, brothers and sisters, we come to this point again of the blood and its meaning to us, because we have, as we've already said, the blood of the new covenant, his own blood. It has power because it was his own blood, not the blood from an animal or some other person's blood. It had power because it represented a sacrifice life and obedience and dedication to the Father. Romans chapter 3, verse 25 says that he, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the propitiation. We achieve propitiation or redemption through his blood. Romans 3, verse 25. Romans 5, verse 9 says that we are justified by this same blood, by his blood. Ephesians 2, verse 13 says that we are made nigh or brought close through his blood and by his blood. So it's just not how the blood worked for Jesus and taking him into the very presence of God. It's how that blood also will save us. Colossians 1, verse 14, we have redemption through his blood. Colossians 1, verse 20 says that we make peace, and he made peace through his blood. And in relation to that, the writer of the Hebrews in chapter 9, verse 14 says, how much more will it cleanse our consciences from acts of death? Cleanse our consciences from death-defying acts, because that's where we are and that's where we were, in order for us to serve the living God. Hebrews 9, verse 14. Hebrews 12, verse 24, Jesus is the mediator of a new covenant. So that creates this new perspective. It's still about the blood of the covenant. It's just that now we have a new covenant. Through the blood of the everlasting covenant, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20, we will, as he was, will be brought back from the dead. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says that the blood of Jesus purifies or cleanses us from all our sins. Not one or two, but all of our sins. Now, I know in 20 minutes, we're not going to get a full perspective of this, but I'd like you to go back with me to Exodus chapter 12. Because sometimes I think, brothers and sisters, we think that this business of salvation is sort of what I refer to sometimes as sort of material and mental. You know, we do this stuff, and we go to church, and we sometimes miss the miracle and the grace and the love that has been extended to us in all of this. We sometimes have are of the opinion that we can kind of do this ourselves. You know, it's not the blood of the covenant at all. It's the stuff we do, and that of course is a waterless pit, basically, and has no ability to save. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 12. Now here we have, in this context, the nation of Israel all ready to leave Egypt, all ready for the transformation. And all of these families had gone through a fairly strict regime of getting the house set up and the visitors and the lamb and the food and all set up, ready to go. And the last thing that they did, it would appear, was to take some of the blood, according to God's command, and put it on the doorpost, on the lintel of the doorpost. And verse 12, God says, "On that same night I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn men and animals, and will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign. The blood will be a sign for you in the houses where you are. And when I pass over, there will be no destruction on your house as there will be on Egyptian houses. When I see the blood, says the Lord, I will pass over." Now, he didn't say that, well, because the Cohens or the Goldmans or the Finkelsteins live here, that I will pass over. He said it's because of the blood. He didn't say because there's a checklist nailed to the door of, you know, what had happened and taken place a day or so before in relation to Passover, I will pass over. Or that these are good folks who live in this house that I will pass over. It says because of the blood. That will be the sign. Jesus said, and we quote this very often over the emblems, "This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you." We are saved because of the blood. We have, getting back to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, redemption through his blood. Hebrews 10, verse 19 tells us that we enter into the holiest through the blood. We can enter into the presence of God through the blood. That is how we get in. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 says that we need to be sprinkled by the blood. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, he says we are redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to us. It's a great way of saying it, isn't it? The waterless pit that we're in. We're redeemed from that by the precious blood of Christ, the Lamb. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 says, "He loved us and washed us from our sins with his own blood." Hebrews chapter 9 that we read. Now this of course, is real blood. It's not some mystery or some ethereal thing. You know, it's some people will try and make it to be. This is real blood. It was real blood that the high priest took into the holy place. It was the real blood of an animal. But this real blood of Jesus had power because it represented the perfect life. It represented the sacrifice life in obedience to his Father. It had power because it represented that redeemed life. And when we're talking about these things, I'm going to suggest that we need to stay with the text, because that's where we're going to find the best solution to these questions. We need to stay with the text, as this is clearly a challenging subject. But the blood represents sacrifice. As I said, it represents the sacrifice life, obedience. It's not about going to meeting. We didn't have church when we were kids. We had meeting. We went to meeting. It's not about going to meeting. It is about an inner life, a transformed life, and a relationship with the Father through the Son. And it is, brothers and sisters, practical, extremely practical, for all the reasons that we've just mentioned from the 10 or 15 verses that we've referred to. It's practical because it can save us from the pit that we're in. And our lives, every one of us, need to be lived according to this reality. And the question as we come on Sunday mornings and as we live out our lives is exactly what pit are we in? I know we don't like to talk about that stuff, but Zechariah clearly says that we should, and we should. What is the pit that we are in? The pit of poverty? Or on the other hand, the pit of materialism? Two waterless pits. We can be redeemed by the blood. The pit of addiction, whether it's meds, money, monitors, or media. I talk about my stuff too, right? Not just your stuff. We can be free from the waterless pit by the blood of Jesus Christ. Failing health, the pit of failing health. We can be cleansed and healed by the blood. The stresses of education, of employment, of unemployment, there's hope in the blood. Because in the blood, there's a transformed way of life, a new way of thinking, a new dedication, a new direction. Are we a prisoner of depression and despair? We can be set free from this prison by the blood. Are we in the pit of rejection or alienation? We can be made nigh by the blood. Or the pit of the abyss of self-esteem, freed by understanding the power of the blood to transform our lives to a better way of living and thinking. A challenging marriage or relationship, peace comes through the blood. The loss of someone, grieving over a family member, grieving over a child, agonizing, there's comfort in the blood. Overcome by the guilt of sin, justified by the blood. What pit are we in? And are our lives sprinkled by the blood? Well, the call to action is clearly that there is hope and we can be set free. And that is the way to salvation, brethren and sisters. And that is, in fact, the power of the blood, the new covenant. And the call to action, again, is that we return to the fortress of hope. Psalm 18 talks about this when it talks about the rock, the fortress, deliverer, strength, buckler, horn of my salvation, high tower. This, brethren and sisters, is where we need to be, in the safety of the fortress. This is the only safe place, the only haven of rest for our souls, where underneath are the everlasting arms, freed by the blood of the covenant. This remembrance this morning, says Paul to the Corinthians, is a participation in the blood of Christ. It's real, it's active, it's about life, it's about how we think and how we live. It is participating in the blood of Christ to cleanse our conscience from death-defying acts. Jesus is our propitiation through his blood. Made alive and brought back from the dead through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Our Lord is coming to Zion in triumph to reign and to bring salvation for not only the world, but especially for you and I. Have we been set free from the pit by the blood of the Lamb? Are we secure as prisoners in the fortress of hope?